We're taking a kick at the seat of government with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In the General Assistance Department, Lennox, Brown and Lamb work like lightning. That's to say, in brief flashes that lead nowhere. Today, we find them helping with environmental problems.
Have you seen that memo from the Ministry of Regional Development?
The what about their campaign against pollution?
Yeah, that's it. Did you take the appropriate action?
Yes, I folded it up very small and put it under the leg of my desk to stop it rocking about.
Oh, really, too? That isn't good enough.
No, it is a bit too flimsy, but it'll have to do till we get some more of those cardboard files.
Oh, no, I meant that's no way to treat an important memo. This pollution business concerns everyone. We have to ensure that people can always get fresh air.
Well, wigs are free on the National Health.
Fresh air, too, not hair.
No.
Oh. You don't seem to understand the gravity of the situation. We have smoke polluting the atmosphere, oil polluting the beaches, and some of our rivers are filthy.
Oh, dear.
Factories are pouring detergent into them.
Oh, good. That'll soon clean them up.
No. Listen, it's the detergent that pollutes them. It kills the fish, you see.
Oh.
And who wants frothy fish with their chips?
Are we supposed to do something about it?
Well, indeed, we are. We have to advise Mr. Quick at the Ministry of Regional Development.
Of course, if the fish were full of detergent, it would save washing up the dinner plates.
Oh, be quiet, too. The regional development people are attacking pollution in the cities first. Now, they want us to draw up a plan for Birmingham and run through it with them.
General Assistance Department, Richard Lamb speaking. Speaking.
Ministry for Regional Development here, St. James's Park. I'm Quick.
Well, you have to be Quick in St. James's Park.
No, I'm Ernest Quick, in charge of regional planning.
Just let me handle this,
too. Don't give us a snatch.
All right. Hello. Mr. Quick, it's Lennox Brown here. What can I do for you?
Well, you'll recall we had great success with changing county boundaries recently.
Oh, yes.
We got rid of Rutland altogether.
Yes, so you did. My neighbour was quite upset. He'd been planning to retire there.
Well, we've thought of a great new scheme to switch round Middlesex and Essex, so lots of people won't even know what sex they are.
I see.
But, of course, we can't act without your say-so. We've been told to take our orders from you.
Well, we'll have to think this one over. We're just going to write to you about Birmingham.
All right, Mr. Lennox Brown, you let us know your plans and we'll carry them out.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Craig. Odd chap. I think we'd better get him started on this Birmingham pollution problem. Jot down a memo for Mildred to type, will you, too?
I was just saying.
I was thinking, the government has decided on a firm policy of depollution for Birmingham.
Yes.
Please implement this at once.
Yes. Would you, Adam and Eve, it? Hmm? I mean, look at this memo that just arrived. As part of new plans for civil service welfare, all staff will be interviewed by the ministry psychiatrist next week at times to be allocated.
Good Lord. Interviewed by a psychiatrist? What nonsense.
Ridiculous. Anyone who goes to a psychiatrist needs his head examined.
Well, why don't? My mum says if the Lord had intended us to read each other's minds, he'd have given us glass heads.
I don't need a doctor.
I fancy inflicting this on people like Wizard Wilkins. Next door. I mean, a man with a first-class mind.
Mm. Oh, hello. Here he is.
Morning, Mr. Wilkins. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Miss... I'm absolutely consternated.
Poor soul. I expect it's the hard water.
Yes. No. It's this memo that's just come round about us all seeing a psychiatrist.
Yes, well, now, we think it's disgraceful.
But there's nothing wrong with my brain, you know. I mean, I know I forget things sometimes, but, that's no reason to see, what was it again?
Psychiatrist.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I think we should all stick together on this one. I mean, just tell Sir Gregory where we stand.
Now then, all of you.
Oh, hello, Sir Gregory.
Do come in, my dear sir.
I am in, man.
Quite so, sir. You are, sir. In. Yes. About the ministry,
psychiatrist.
That's not right. You're all seeing him next week.
Seeing who?
I have a schedule of appointments here.
We don't want to be difficult, Sir Gregory.
Good. Keep quiet, then.
My colleague is trying to say, sir, that we don't wish to see this mental person.
Don't wish to?
No.
Well, don't be absurd, man. It's a top-level decision for your own good. In these modern times, we have to get to know ourselves.
I know myself already. My mother introduced us.
You should think yourselves lucky to see a psychiatrist, especially a man as distinguished as Dr. Schwein. One person in four is mentally unstable, they say.
Really?
Take a look around when you're next on a bus, Lamb. If the nearest three people look sane, it must be you.
Oh, dear.
When are you seeing Dr. Schwein, sir?
Me? I shan't be seeing him. There's nothing wrong with me.
Oh.
You're first on the list, Lem. Now, your appointment with Dr. Schwein is 10 o'clock Monday. Don't be late.
Mr. Lem, there is no need for you to hide under the couch. Just lie down on top of it. I'm not going to hurt you.
But I find these questions rather embarrassing.
A few more only, and we are through. Now, please relax. I want you to release your libido, loosen your inhibitions.
I can't.
Why not?
My trousers would fall down.
We British love to be making yokes. No. I feel that this may be symptomatic. Tell me, do you have any deep-rooted neurosis?
No, but we've got a cactus in the office. Oh, and I have a little pink peony. At least I think it's pink. I can't remember.
Now we come to an important aspect of your life. Yes. Tell me, sex.
Well, I'm a male, of course.
Yes, quite.
At least I am now. At school, I was a mixed infant.
Yes, but I want you to tell me now in your own words, without any embarrassment, all about sex.
You want to know?
Yes.
All about it?
Yes.
Well, gentlemen frogs are different from lady frogs. And when the spring comes round...
Please, I do not wish to hear this.
You've changed your mind. It is rather unsavory. Why don't you do as I did and get a book from the library? It'll tell you all you want to know.
Mr. Lamb, your responses are most unusual.
Well, I'm doing my best, but the real brain in the office is Mr. Lennox Brown. You'll be seeing him this afternoon. I'm sure he'll be able to help you.
Dear me, Mr. Lennox Brown, you are behaving so strangely. I cannot talk to you. It must be this drinking at lunchtime.
Oh, well, I'll come back when you're sober.
No. I ask you to relax on the couch and answer my questions. But you keep falling asleep.
Yes, well, I'm awfully sorry, Dr. Schwein, you see, but I keep thinking I'm in my office.
Since you sleep so much, let me ask you about your dreams.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Some men have dreams about women. Do you ever suffer from these?
No, I always enjoy them.
Well, now I want you to relax again. Close your eyes and tell me something about your early life. Your early life. Your early life. Oh, my God, he's fallen asleep again. Wake up. Lennox Brown.
Hello. What? Speaking?
Tell me about your life and career.
Oh, yes. Well, with pleasure now. As you would expect, of course, I was extremely successful at school, where I excelled in all sports and shone at all subjects. On joining the civil service, I proved my powers of application by applying the seat of the chair to the seat of my trousers, and that is where I shine today. I really can honestly say that I carry my great responsibilities with efficiency and modesty, and I'm not boasting when I add that I... You see... Dr. Schwein. Good grief.
How did you get on with Dr. Schwein, Mildred?
Well, I thought he was blooming odd. I mean, he kept patting me knee. Said he wanted to test my reactions.
I couldn't understand what he was on about.
Oh, well, it was all perfectly clear to me, you know.
or else. But then, you see, of course, I've studied psychiatry.
Oh, through the Open University?
No. A magazine at my barber's. But, you know, I'm beginning to think there may be something in it.
It seems Sir Gregory had to see him after all. He was coming out as I went in.
Yes, I wonder what dark secrets Dr. Schwein unearthed in him.
Well, Sir Gregory's getting absent-minded, according to his secretary. She told me he threw a typewriter cover over her the other day, then sat the typewriter on his knee and begun to unfasten the ribbon.
Oh. Dirty old devil.
Now then, all of you.
Oh, hello, Sir Dirty. Sir Devilry.
I brought Dr. Schwein here to give you the results of your interviews.
I have now a dossier on each of you, outlining your behavior patterns and assessing your untapped potential.
Is that good?
Don't be quiet, Lemon. Listen. Yes. It's been decided at a very high level that all Dr. Schwein's expert suggestions will be carried out at once, without question.
Right so.
So, if you'd read out your findings, Doctor...
Shouldn't that be done privately? Dr. Schwein may want to reveal matters of a personal nature.
No, stop a nonsense, man. Everything must be out in the open. We don't want any unhealthy secrets.
Well, I have nothing to hide. I mean, my interview was quite remarkable. Isn't that so, Dr. Schwein?
Yes, and what I am about to say is in your own interests, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Indeed. Well, carry on, my dear son. Yeah?
Firstly, you are suffering from ergophobia. I have found that this is very common in the ministry.
Ergophobia? Yes, what's that in?
A morbid fear of work.
What?
Although you have no natural executive skills.
But
indeed, aren't I say this for your own good? You have no skills at all.
Now, well, I...
What we doctors call, won't I mean this kindly, you understand, a totally inadequate personality.
Inadequate personality?
You have been forced into this executive role by social pressures. You will, in fact, be far happier and more fulfilled in your new post as a typist.
Me? A typist? I'm not going to stand here and be insulted like that.
Of course, you should be sitting down.
Dr. Schwein's recommendations are final and binding, Lennox Brown. From tomorrow, you will become the secretary in this office.
Yeah, but what about me? I'll be out of a blooming job.
Miss Murphy, my findings show that your needs are not fully satisfied in your present post. You should work in a freer atmosphere where your talents will be fully exploited.
Do what?
I have proposed you work for an active and artistic psychiatrist in the Department of Health, such as myself.
Give over? I can't just leave Mr. Lamb and Mr. Lennox Brown. I've got to look after them. I'm staying here.
It's an extra £4 a week.
Oh. When do I start?
Now, listen, just a minute. If I'm to be demoted, who will be running this office?
Now we come to the crunchy. Mr. Lamb. Our meeting made it obvious that you have many latent aptitudes and unplumbed propensities.
How dare you, you rude swine!
Don't be daft, too. He's paying you a compliment.
Oh, he?
It's clear that your abilities have been suppressed by jealous colleagues.
That's true.
And I recommend that you, Mr. Lamb, must now be in charge of this office.
I say, does that mean I can have the swivel chair?
Very well, Dr. Schwein, the new shape of this office will be as follows. You, Lamb, will be at the helm.
Aye, aye, sir.
You, Miss Murphin, will move to the Department of Health. And you, Lennox Brown, will be secretary here.
Oh, poor Mr. Lennox Brown. These reports should have been done in private.
Not at all. It's right that everyone should hear everything.
Well, we haven't heard the doctor's report on you yet, Sir Gregory.
You mean... No need. I'm a busy man.
Yes, but you said it should all come out into the open.
And we mustn't have unhealthy secrets.
Yes.
With respect, sir.
Yeah, well, there's not much to say about me. I just did a free association test. Dr. Schwein held up various objects, and I had to say what they reminded me of.
Yes, your replies were most illuminating, Sir Gregory. When I held up a pencil, you said it reminded you of a slim young blonde in a blue bikini.
Well, so it did.
And when I held up a tenpenny piece, you said that suggested a well-built blonde in a silver bikini. And when I held up my hand to stop you, what did you say that reminded you of?
Five young blondes with no bikinis. Yeah. But what's wrong with that? I never think of anything else during office hours.
I am afraid, Sir Gregory, I have diagnosed you as morally weak and mentally bankrupt.
What?
Me?
A broken reed buffeted by the winds of desire.
But it can't be true.
A tragic case. You are quite unfitted for any sort of work.
Does that mean I shall be moved?
Not at all. As senior minister official, you're in the ideal job.
Yes, I see that.
Mind you, for your own health and peace of mind, I suggest you lead a simpler life. Abstain from all fleshly pleasures.
All fleshly pleasures?
Yes, especially that one. It's only me, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, yes. Come in, Mr. Wilkins.
Oh, I just popped in to see how things were...
Going?
No, I've just come in. How do you like being a secretary?
Oh, well, the for and against, you know. I mean, my hours are longer now, of course.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yes. I'm expected to be here from 11 till 3. And only 2 hours for lunch.
Oh, dear me.
Of course, against that, I can go to the canteen every 20 minutes if I want. Stay chatting in the men's room, you know, with the other secretaries. No one complains as long as I type 3 letters a day. And I've done those already.
You've typed 3 letters today?
Yes. Look at that. A T, an H, and an E.
Oh, my word, yes, my word. And only 2 mistakes. Oh, Mr. Lamb will be pleased. Now he's the boss, you know. He seems quite dynamic.
Or like decrepit, in my opinion.
Morning, Lennox Brown. Hello, Mr. Wilkins. Not wasting time, I hope.
I know you're busy, so I shan't,
stay?
No, thanks. I'm off now.
Lennox Brown, when you've finished filing your nails, perhaps you'd make some tea.
Very well, if you insist. General Assistance Department, Secretary Lennox Brown, to whom you are in communication with.
Quick here, Ministry of Regional Development.
Oh, yes, Mr. Quick, yes. Well, I'll hand you over to my colleague. He's in charge now.
You're speaking to the desk of Richard Lamb. Can I help you?
Now, just to let you know, we've acted on your memo about Birmingham.
Oh, good. I'll ask my secretary for the file. Did we send them a memo about Birmingham?
Of course we did. Yes, we told them to carry out a policy of depollution.
Oh, yes. You've got on with it, have you, Mr. Quick?
We certainly have. Oh. There was some surprise in certain quarters, but we were told to do as you said.
I can't think why people were surprised.
Well, we'd all heard of devolution for Scotland, but devolution for Birmingham's a new idea.
Nevertheless, we... What? Did you say devolution for Birmingham?
Well, you said it first in your memo, didn't you?
Oh, dear. I think we've made a boo-boo.
It's all laid on. Just a few queries, though. We wondered how many customs posts you'd like on the Birmingham Ring Road. And there's the question of passports at the Warwickshire frontier.
We'll need to discuss this. I'll have a word with my secretary. I'll ring you back quick, Mr. Soon. Soon, Mr. Back. Oh, dear.
Oh, don't tell me. I know what's happened. It's here, on the copy of Mildred's memo. A firm policy of devolution for Birmingham, instead of depollution.
Oh, well, if it's Mildred's fault, perhaps we can relax.
Relax? What are you talking about, relax? This office is responsible for Birmingham getting independence.
Oh. Good evening. This is Robert Deitch with this week's edition of Scannerama. Tonight, we look at devolution and Birmingham. Will it work? Is it a good thing? How has it come about?
He doesn't know either.
Shh. Quiet, we're on the air.
Oh, yes.
We have, in the studio, Ministry spokesman Richard Lamb and...
His secretary, Lennox Brown.
And his secretary, Mr. Lennox Brown. Also, Birmingham City Councillor, Mr. Ivor Shorthouse. Mr. Shorthouse has just been appointed the first Foreign Secretary of Birmingham.
Good evening, all.
Scotland and Wales have sought devolution for years, but Birmingham has never asked for it. Has this government decision surprised you, Mr. Shorthouse?
Oh, it was quite a surprise, like, you know, definitely. But devolution, to my mind, is like black pudding. You don't miss it if you've never had it. But once you've got the taste of it, you can't do without it.
Yes, quite. Now, Mr. Lamb, could you tell us how this rather surprising action came about?
Yes and no.
Yes and no?
Yes, I could tell you, and no, I'd rather not.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, but don't do it again.
What my senior colleague is trying to say is that we have decided on a frank and open policy of no comment.
As Birmingham's foreign secretary, I'd like to say as we intend to stay friends with Britain. And to any viewers who fancy holiday abroad this year, I'd like to add there's always a welcome in the sun-kissed streets of Birmingham.
Thank you, Mr. Shorthart.
Linger a while in the pleasant bistros of the Costa del Aston. Or rent your own Aston Villa. Get your visa now, only £4.50.
Yes, well, there it is. This has indeed been a sudden and unexpected move. No doubt we'll all hear more about it when the Prime Minister returns from the Singapore conference.
Yes, Prime Minister. No, Prime Minister, yes, very kind of you to phone, but... no, Prime Minister, my parents were married. I've seen the photo. I came out very well. You'll have RDLs for what? Oh, ashtrays. I'll put things right at once. Is you an order? Saying what? Hang on, Prime Minister, I'll get a pencil. Cancel Birmingham devolution by order of the Cabinet and Prime Minister. What we face in this area is depollution. I'll get that off straight away.
Oh, my word, Mr. Lamb, you look all green and trembling. Did you have the canteen shepherd's pie again?
No, Mr. Wilkins, the PM rang to wring my neck and to say I've had it because they've got it, but I didn't do it, and Mildred did it, and I didn't know it, and they mustn't have it, and the PM says I was as much use as a glass eye in a keyhole.
Really?
I have to go to Downing Street, but I've also got to send this memo to Mr. Quick, and LB's not here to type it.
Well, you go, and I'll give the message to Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, would you, Mr. Wilkins? I'd be awfully grateful. See you later, then.
Oh, dear me, the way he rushes about.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilkins. How's Trix?
Oh, well, she's quite well, thanks, apart from a touch of a rheumatism. How are you getting on with this psychiatrist chap?
Well, to tell you the truth, he's a bit of a nutter. Keeps chasing me round the couch. Says he's going to work on my ego.
Oh, he is in a bad way.
I just popped over to see how Mr. LB and Mr. Lamb were getting on.
Well, Mr. Lamb's out, and I don't know where Mr. LB is. He won't be pleased, you know. Mr. Lamb left him a memo to type.
Oh, poor old LB. He doesn't like this typing lark. He told me he took all morning addressing one envelope.
All morning? One envelope?
Yeah, you'd hardly believe it. I could have done it in an hour. Where is this memo, Mr. Wilkins? I'll do it for him as a surprise.
Here it is. It's to go to a Mr. Quick.
Right. Oh, blimey. Mr. Lamb's writing's getting worse. I can hardly make it out.
Well,
Cancel Birmingham devolution by order of the black and white minstrels. No. By order of the Cabinet and Prime Minister. Yeah, that's it. What we face in this area is revolution. Oh, blimey, I better send this off at once.
Yes, that should get things moving.
Right.
Well, your first weeks in charge haven't been a great success, have they? You're lucky Sir Gregory's a changed man. In the old days, he'd have murdered you first and then sacked you.
I haven't even thought about Sir Gregory. He's taken Dr. Schwein's advice, has he?
Oh, indeed he has. You never saw anyone so humble and meek. Almost a sort of latter-day saint.
Ah, Mr. Lennox Brown and Brother Lamb. I wondered if I could be of service to you in any way.
You already have, sir. It's marvellous that you don't get cross these days.
Anger is an empty vessel, Mr. Lamb. Never again shall I raise my voice in wrath, in token of which I bring you this olive branch.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's most kind.
An olive branch. Where should I put it?
You can... Oh, no. No, I mustn't say that. Keep it here as a symbol of friendship.
General Assistance Department.
Ernest Quick here. I wanted you to know that we are taking all necessary steps to crush this revolution in Birmingham.
Oh, good. What?
I suppose it's because we took back their independence. Still, revolution's not the answer, is it?
Revolution?
Well, you made the position quite plain in your memo. And as soon as I told the Ministry of Defense, they got things moving. I'll keep in touch, Mr. Lamb. Bye.
What did he say in that last memo to Mr. Quick?
Well, let's see the copy. It'll be in the out tray under the tea cozy.
Give me that, Lennox Brown, if you please. What we face in this area is revolution. This looks like another of your mistakes.
Yes, it should be depollution, you see.
You bungling half-baked nitwits, I'll strangle you.
Sir Gregory, don't do that with the olive branch.
Don't you see what you've done? Imagine what the government will do. They think we're at war with Birmingham.
Here is the news read by Brian Martin. The government has taken swift and vigorous action to quell the revolution which was reported to have broken out in Birmingham. Two divisions of troops are now marching towards the city along the M1. They had earlier been delayed when they misread some road signs and spent the morning tramping round Spaghetti Junction. And Britain's remaining gunboat is sailing north up the Grand Union Canal. Paratroopers dropped over the city last night and are said to be on top of things. But the mayor of Birmingham has expressed surprise at all this activity. He said he was not aware that any of Birmingham's citizens were revolting.
Thank heavens we're all back to normal. Oh, it's lovely to be in this office again.
And I realize now I'm not cut out to be the head of the department. The job calls for someone bigger. We need a big head like you, one.
Thank you very much, too. Yes, I must say, you know, that I tied things up rather well, explaining those troops away as a NATO exercise.
But how were things sorted out so quickly?
Oh, once it was clear Dr. Schwein was barmy, all the changes he'd made were cancelled.
What convinced them he was barmy?
Well, he got fed up chasing me round the office and getting nowhere, so he threw off all his clothes and ran down Whitehall in the nuddy.
Good.
Then he stuck a flyer in his ear and ran into the House of Commons gallery.
So they finally knew he was mad.
Yeah, they heard him applauding the speeches.
Well, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, except I'm a bit worried about Sir Gregory.
Oh, do you think he'll come in and hit us?
Hardly. Once Dr. Schwein was discredited, he tried to do a month's eating and drinking and carrying on all in one day. He's now in a darkened room in the civil service rest home.
Oh, poor Sir Gregory.
I tell you what, we'll drink his recovery, shall we? Now put the kettle on, me, Luke, and we'll all have a nice cup of tea.
Why not? Let's all have a nice cup of tea.